I'm Christopher Lydon. This is The Connection. In the poshest hotel piano room in Manhattan, our guest Bobby Short has made songs like this one, staples of his cabaret repertoire.
Old Hannah Brown from Cross Town, gets full of corn and starts bringing them down. Just at the break of day, you can hear old Hannah say, give me a big cut and a bottle of beer. Send me Gage, I don't care. I feel like I want a clown. Give the kid a play a drink because he's bringing me down. He's got a river.
Bobby Short is the cabaret tradition in New York and a few other places that he visits, burnishing the treasury of songs by the Gershwins, Noel Coward, Cole Porter, Alec Wilder, Jerome Kern, Irving Berlin. We're remembering this hour the songs made famous by the black divas of the 20s. Give Me a Pigfoot, in its first incarnation, was Bessie Smith's song, accompanied in this recording by Buck Washington at the piano, with Frank Newton, Benny Goodman, Jack Teagarden, and Chu Berry, among others.
Give the piano player a drink because he's bringing me down. He's got a rhythm, yeah. When he stomps his feet, he sends me right off to sleep. Check all your razors and your guns. We gonna be wrestling when the wagon comes. I want a Bigfoot and a bottle of beer. Send me calls.
That was the Empress of the Blues, Bessie Smith, near the end of her reign in 1933. She had been a Columbia recording star for a decade. There had been peak times when she and her band traveled in their own private railroad car. She had a big black and a big white following. And with some songs, she had two sets of lyrics for two different kinds of audiences. We're talking about the jazz and blues divas of the 20s and 30s. Like Ethel Waters and others. We're talking about the bedrock of songs that they left for all time with our guest Bobby Short of the Carlyle Hotel, coming as far as Boston this weekend. Our phone is 1-800-423-8255 or 1-800-423-TALK. We're talking about American songs for which Bobby Short has had a peculiar talent at picking the best and making them standards again. Welcome back, Bobby Short.
Good morning, Chris.
Early in the day for a performer like you, but thank you for getting up in the middle of your night.
Anytime for you.
There's so many. We could do this with any number of singers that you have kept gloriously alive, but I thought particularly the tradition of Ethel Waters and Bessie Smith, but also people like Helen Humes, people like Edith Wilson, as well as your friend Mabel Mercer, are the ones that we ought to talk about today. Tell us about your own Bessie Smith experience, your own discoveries and pleasures.
Well, first of all, Bessie Smith was a blues singer, and she was not allowed to be heard in my house, in my home, growing up. My mother didn't mind jazz, but she thought that blues singers sang suggestive material, and of course they did. And so I couldn't hear Bessie Smith until I was 17 years old. And I heard it quite by accident. One of my friends, a lady friend of mine, came by one day with a big stack of her old records and said, my mother said, get these out of the house, so she brought them to me. Of course, I heard them and fell in love with them.
And I wish you'd cue, introduce us to Cakewalking Babies from Home.
Well, it was rather a popular song at the time. I don't know what year it was recorded or when it was written, but there's a marvelously sort of freewheeling gaiety about the entire thing. It's Bessie being very happy, and the underlying quality that I so adore about it is that it's obviously it's an indication of a kind of pride in race. The very, very last line when she says cakewalking babies from home, that gives me a direct signal to where she's coming from.
You mean from the hood, so to speak?
Coming from the neighborhood, that's right.
Okay, this was recorded, this particular one was recorded in 1925. Let's listen.
Cakewalkers may come
Fletcher Henderson, incidentally, on the piano, and Coleman Hawkins is playing tenor saxophone in there.
I can believe that.
Buster Bailey on clarinet.
Fletcher accompanied Ethel Waters a great deal in the 1920s. You know, Bessie and Ethel were like twins for a while. Same circuit.
Same circuit, and, Ethel Waters, we should hear some Ethel Waters. It's interesting in terms of sort of the polite rules of your house. Ethel Waters cleaned up her act in a certain way. She became an accompanist, part of the Billy Graham traveling.
That was many, many, many years
many,
later.
Many years later.
Many, many years. Many, how can I put it? Many metamorphoses later.
Absolutely. But I, let's... You mentioned Ethel Waters, and I want to plug into some of the kinds of songs that probably your mother and the aunts didn't want in the house either.
The song coming up is...
Let's listen to it. Ethel Waters in the 20s sang real jazz with great jazz players, and she also sang, what were called humor records, race records, suggestive records.
Well, Ethel began as a blues singer, and she was Bessie's. She looked up to Bessie Smith quite a lot. They became competitors, and Bessie referred to her as that northern bitch or something. And then she got to like Ethel. She called her Long Goody. That sort of indication was stayed with Ethel for a long time because she was tall and thin and quite beautiful to look at. And they called her Mama String Bean because she was so thin.
Hmm. Should we listen to My Handyman? What do you want to say?
Well, My Handyman is one of the reasons why we didn't have any blues records in the house, because My Handyman was flat out double entendre, which was not quite so double after all.
Let's listen to My Handyman, Ethel Waters.
Whoever said a good man was hard to find, positively, absolutely, sure was blind. I found the best that ever was. Here's just some of the things he does. He shakes my ashes, greases my griddle, churns my butter, strokes my fiddle. My man, such a handy man. He threads my needle, creams my wheat, heats my heater, chops my meat. My man. Such a handyman.
This is the great Ethel Waters, who ended her career known for her autobiography called His Eye Is on the Sparrow.
Correct.
I Know He Watches Me.
That's
a sort of a church singer.
Yes.
This is the same woman, different world.
Well, Ethel went through a lot of changes. Ethel became, as a matter of fact, the first jazz woman singer in the world. She idolized Louis Armstrong, and she was the first jazz singer, which came out of the blues, of course. And about this piece, My Handyman, she was in such fierce competition with Bessie Smith that Bessie Smith's writers wrote a song for her called My Kitchen Man to compete with My Handyman.
There's also, there was a succession here. I want to, you introduced us to the name Edith Wilson. Edith Wilson, in the same tradition, she famous for a song, He May Be Your Man, But He Comes to See Me Sometimes.
Yes.
But she also did her own variation on My Handyman.
Oh, they all sang it. I mean, it became a staple in blues singers' repertoire. Helen Hume sang it. Alberta Hunter sang it, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
This is Edith Wilson singing My Handyman Ain't Handy Anymore.
once I used to brag about my handyman, but I ain't bragging no more. Something strange has happened to my handyman. He's not the man he was before. Wish somebody would explain to me about this dual personality. He don't perform his duties like he used to do. He never hauls my ashes unless I tell him to. Before he hardly gets to work, he says he's through. My handyman ain't handy no more.
Do we have a political correctness problem with this stuff or not?
Oh, I don't know. I think that back in those days, the buyers, the clientele for these recordings were very clearly defined, mostly black people. Bessie crossed the line, though, with the song called The Empty Bed Blues, which was recorded on both sides of an old 78, a 10-inch 78, and college boys at Harvard and Yale bought it anxiously and eagerly.
The legend is that she had separate sets of lyrics for different audiences.
I never knew about that, because...
Oh, I can't quote them either.
I never heard that she had separate lyrics, I just know that Bessie never really and truly crossed the boundaries that Ethel did. Ethel came out of the blues and became a jazz singer and a pop singer. She recorded in the 1930s great American ballads, And of course, in the 30s, she also went to the Broadway stage.
And to the movies?
And to the movies. And she was brilliant as a great actress.
Which of these songs do your audiences like best? And which do you most enjoy performing, Bobby Shore?
Well, I find that Gimme a Pigfoot is out of my league now. It just takes too much energy to do it. I'm thinking of doing Cakewalk and Babies. And I'm gonna work on that very soon, because it has a deep, deep sort of very, very, very important message to it. I think that sometimes you must send the signal to your audience.
What's the signal? What's the message?
Well, the signal, it's about, as I said before, it's about pride. It's about pride not just of race. It's about pride of people from home who are succeeding, and joy. And she talks about, look at them demonstrating, at them syncopating, and they're cakewalking babies from home. The cakewalk was a very, very popular dance in its day.
Mm. We're talking about cabaret music with the master, Bobby Short, famous as the sort of squire and host of the Carlisle Hotel for more than 30 years now. He's playing in Boston this weekend at Scholars Nightclub. 1-800-423-8255 makes the connection with, very specifically this hour, the diva tradition of jazz and blues singers of the 20s and 30s, most famously Ethel Waters and Bessie Smith. 1-800-423-TALK. John is on the line.
Hi there, Bob. I tell you, I'm going to have to get in there to see you this weekend. I didn't even realize you were in town. Thank you for coming. I will make an appearance to see you. Originally, I had a question, but I do have a comment. You talked about the political correctness of some of these lyrics. I imagine today they would be quite politically correct, because what are they, after all, but women talking about enjoying their pleasure and taking command of it, basically. But one question I had was, there was a song that I'm very familiar with, and I've heard it on many occasions. And I want to know who originally did it, because talk about double entendre. This was practically pornographic. It's called I Want a Hot Dog for My Roll.
Oh, I know that song. And I'm trying to think of who might have done that. Wouldn't have been Alberta Hunter. There were a number of blues divas back in those days, and they all took their cues from Bessie and Ethel. But I know the song very well.
Do you want to hum a few bars, John, or do you want to play a few bars, Bobby?
Well, there's a couple of
you
couple
sing
of
it, Bobby will accompany you.
Where she says, "I sure will be disgusted if that hot dog ain't loaded with mustard." It was pretty graphic in places.
Do you want to give us a polite piano version, Bobby?
I don't remember the tune at all, but the words I remember very clearly. and the message.
John, we get the message. Thank you. And I wonder what other people think about sort of the sort of political acceptability of this sort of stuff. Male, female, black, white, raunchy, or otherwise. 1-800-423-8255. Makes the diva connection. Jeff is on the line.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Jeff.
I'd like you to talk a bit about Ivy Anderson, who you turned me on to years ago. Just speak about her in general, her life, and tell me if I can read anything about her or find anything beyond a two-record set I have the Columbia issued, her work with the Ellington Orchestra.
Much of that Columbia set has been issued again on two CDs. I've forgotten the label, but you can find them. They're simply called Ivy Anderson, and they're cuts that she made with Ellington's orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
Ivy came from the Northwest. I have reason to believe that Ivy was perhaps an orphan who grew up in a nunnery, grew up in a Catholic school with nuns around her. And she began to work when she was very, very young. What struck me about her was her positiveness and her crystal clear diction and her and the open soul that she displayed. She idolized Ethel Waters, and she was an integral part of Ellington's band because she had such a great sense of show business, very important to him, and a great, great sense of rhythm and music.
Definitely. She could definitely swing.
Brilliant.
And the other thing I wanted to ask you was, in terms of present-day divas, blues divas, I'm a big fan of Ruth Brown and Ernestine Anderson. I wonder if you have anyone else to recommend to me.
Divas today?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that you have to remember that with all these divas we're talking about, they all had one thing in common. They had crystal clear diction. Back in the days of Bessie and Ethel, there were no microphones, and they very often came out and just shouted out those songs to the gallery up there in front of them. And they had to have brilliant diction, or they couldn't have been understood, because the point of the blues was always to get some idea across.
Hmm. That's wonderful. You know, these careers are so interestingly different. Bessie had an enormous stardom and died young. Ethel Waters lived through several incarnations, as we said. Bessie Smith was unbeautiful, and she was too dark. Her skin was too dark for a lot of the theater owners of the time. She wasn't allowed. She was beautiful. She had a great sexual presence, people felt, but she was not. She was not stereotypically what audiences or managers were looking for. I wonder. What kind of lives did these stars have?
Lives? I think the lives must have been totally hazardous. I think that traveling around, mostly in the South, where Bessie traveled, with her own show very likely, must have been very, very difficult, very painful. She died because of such an experience, such an exposure.
Remind me, was there an accident?
Well, an accident, and she couldn't get into a hospital because of her color.
Mm.
And she died because of that. I mean, can you imagine the hazards a black woman, a woman, particularly might have faced traveling around in those days in the Deep South?
You know, but again, the range of talent, it just reminds me, she was credited with writing some wonderful songs, including Backwater Blues, and I wonder if the control room would cue that. Can you find Backwater Blues by Bessie Smith, which is credited to her as her composition, and there were others. I mean, this was a woman of enormous gifts, probably not just for belting this stuff out.
She was a fine actress as well. I saw Bessie in a short that Dudley Murphy made years ago called St. Louis Blues, and she had to act in that. She sang mostly, but she was an actress as well, and she had a great, great sense of drama. She wasn't the actress that Ethel Waters was, but she certainly had a great deal. She had to have that ability to perform in a theater back in those days.
Mm.
You had to have presence and talents and command of the language, or you simply couldn't go out there and do it. Those were tough crowds to please.
And as you say, she had to articulate
every single syllable.
Let's listen a little bit to Backwater Blues by Bessie Smith. That's James P. Johnson on the piano.
In the sky, dark and night. get out of my depth. I woke up this morning, can't even get out of my depth. There's enough trouble to make a poor girl wonder where she wanna go. Then they roll a new boat about 5 miles across the pond. Then they roll a little boat about 5 miles across the pond. I packed all my clothes, sold them in, and they rolled me along. And the wind begins to blow. When it thunders and lightning, and the wind begins to blow, there's thousands of people ain't got no place to go.
That's Bessie Smith singing her own Backwater Blues with James P. Johnson himself at the piano. Bobby Short does both the James P. and the Bessie parts when he performs these songs. You want a word on James P.?
Oh, I met James P. many years ago. He came to Southern California because he had a little show audition around. And it was finally cast, and it was performed out there. And one song came out of it that Nat Cole recorded called Don't Lose Your Mind and Lose Your Gal, because you can't lose a broken heart. It was a lovely song, you know.
Of course, Duke Ellington worshipped James P., among many others.
Yes. Willie the Lion, he worshipped.
Yeah, but it's just so fascinating. When you hear those two together, your bifocal ears sort of get, you don't know which one to go to. Where do your ears go when you're listening to James P. and Bessie Smith?
I don't know. I sort of do the whole thing at once. You know, I'd say, bite the bullet and go ahead.
We're talking about, with the great Bobby Short, about one slice of his repertoire out of the 20s and 30s, the blues and jazz singers, led by Ethel Waters and Bessie Smith, but they weren't alone. We talked a little bit about Helen Humes and Edith Wilson and Ivy Anderson, progenitors of Ruth Brown and Ernestine Anderson. There was Alberta Hunter, too. The phone is 1-800-423-8255. The Cabaret Connection, 1-800-423-TALK with Bobby Short. Let's go into the break with a little bit more of Bessie Smith. This is another one of those more or less subtle songs. This is called Need a Little Sugar in My Bowl. This is The Connection from WBUR Boston and PRI Public Radio International.
If my man's been gone, I need a little sugar in my bowl. I need a little hot dog on my roll. I can stand a bit of loving. I feel so funny, I feel so sad. I need a little steamy on my floor. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, heart, Papa? Come on and save your mama's soul, 'cause I need a little sugar in my bowl. Doggone it, I need some sugar in my bowl. I need a little sugar in my bowl. I need a little hot dog between my rolls. You getting different, I've been told. Finger drop something in my bowl. I need a little steamy on my floor. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. Get off your knees, I can't see what you're driving at. It's dark down there. Looks like a snake. Come on here and drop something here in my bowl. Stop your fooling and drop something in my bowl.
Funding for The Connection comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where The Connection is produced, and from the Allaire Corporation, empowering people with innovative internet technology and offering dynamic career opportunities at Allaire.com. I'm Christopher Ledden. This is The Cabaret Connection.
I was mighty blue. Thought my life was through, till the heavens opened and I gazed at you. Won't you tell me, dear, why when you appear something happens to me and the strangest feeling goes through me. You do something to me, something that simply mystifies me. Tell me, why should it be? You have the power to hypnotize me. Let me live neath your spell. Do that voodoo that you do so well. For you do something to me.
Our voodoo man is Bobby Short. This is The Connection. We're talking about songs and American songs and the kind of songs that Bobby Short, not quite alone, but he's the leader, the kinds of songs he keeps alive. We're talking particularly about the songs of the great divas Ethel Waters and Bessie Smith and Edith Wilson and Helen Humes and many others on The Connection this hour. 1-800-423-8255 makes The Cabaret Connection with Bobby Short. Alec is on the line.
Hello.
Alec, welcome.
Thank you. I didn't hear you talk about this earlier. I might have missed it, but there's a great, I don't know if she'd be a diva, who you seem to have neglected, and that's Ma Rainey.
That's true. We have neglected her.
I don't remember too much about, but I believe she had a sort of traveling carnival and sang a lot of the songs and had a pretty strong influence on Bessie Smith and was really a wild sort of bisexual character in her day.
And Bobby Short, tell us about, where do we put Ma Rainey? We have failed to mention her.
Ma Rainey preceded both Ethel Waters and Bessie Smith. She's said to have been one of Bessie Smith's most important mentors. And speaking of beauty and appearance, Ma Rainey, believe me, Bessie Smith was a raving beauty beside Ma Rainey. But Ma Rainey, taking full advantage of her status as a great blues singer and the fact that she was in show business, did all sorts of things. She did added all kinds of artifice to her appearance, feathers and makeup and furs and jewelry. And she dragged across that stage looking like something that she was not at all. But she was a great, wonderful singer. And in the years that came after her reign, both Ethel and Bessie recorded songs that Ma Rainey had indeed introduced.
Do you sing any Ma Rainey?
No, I don't.
Is there a reason?
No, there's just no reason. There's no reason why. But Bessie embraced a broader field, as did Ethel. And they sang songs that I could have sung. But Ma Rainey was really and truly quiet. She was grassroots.
I'm glad you mentioned her. She certainly fits among the great divas. 1-800-423-8255. Ted is on a car phone.
Hello.
Welcome, Ted.
Yes, as Good morning to you, Chris, and good morning to Bobby Short.
Morning.
Great, great artist. Many, many, many years. Been following him for a long time.
Thank you.
Bobby, I'd appreciate it if you could differentiate for me, you being a musicologist, between the blues that you're covering now with Rainey and Ethel Waters and the blues that became popular in the 50s here in this country. It seemed to be coming out of the rural South, as opposed to the roots of the music that you're mainly discussing this morning.
Now, your question isn't altogether clear to me.
No, he's distinguished between country blues, southern blues,
and city blues,
and Bessie Smith.
And Bessie Smith. Bessie Smith and Ma Rainey and even Ethel Waters, I think, sang the blues that came out of Negro spirituals, which are categorized these days as American folk music, quite rightfully, I think. And the blues came out of that, and out of the blues came jazz, of course.
Right. Yes, but then we're running into a conflict because the rural South blues are so different in content and a musical style than the jazz blues.
Well, they are closer to the grassroots than the northern cities would have been. And you can still hear blues singers on the streets of Washington, D.C., for instance, who adhere to the old style of blues.
Ted, thank you. 1-800-423-8255 makes the cabaret connection with Bobby Short. Richard's on the line.
Hi, Chris.
Welcome.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi.
You're always the greatest. Question, in the 60s and 70s, Janis Joplin covered Big Mama Thornton and some other blues divas in a way that was rock and roll and rather provocative in its day, though not now. What's your take on that?
On Janis Joplin?
And her version of the blues.
Well, I thought she was brave. I thought that for a white woman to undertake the study and execution of the blues as demonstrated by black women was very, very courageous of her. It's totally natural. It's all American stuff. And I thought she had a great deal to offer. I liked to hear Janis Joplin sing.
Richard, thank you. 1-800-423-8255. Adriana is on the line.
Hello.
Welcome.
How are you today?
Good.
I'm calling from Boston. I'm on faculty at the Berklee College of Music.
Oh, great.
And I'm calling to bring up the Boswell sisters. Do you all know about them?
I certainly do.
Well, no, I'm the odd man out. I don't. Teach us about the Boswell sisters.
Well, the Boswell sisters were sisters from New Orleans, and they recorded, I think their first recording was in 1925, and they were really pioneers in vocal jazz at that time. Most white singers were singing in the European, classical style, and they experimented a lot with trumpet-like vocals and wordless vocals, actually recorded Louis Armstrong's Heebie-Jeebies, and were quite advanced for their time doing three-part harmonies. One of the sisters, Martha Boswell, sang and played the piano, while the other two, sang in harmonies. And they were quite, as I said, advanced for their time.
Adriana, that's interesting. Bobby, does this sound like the...
Well, of course.
Your Boswell sisters?
I grew up with the Boswell sisters. I heard them on the radio every week. Out of the three sisters, the one who became famous on her own was Connie Boswell, who was, she did her work from a wheelchair. I think she had paralysis in the legs. Mm. And she became a great, great star on her own. She recorded for Decca, recorded all the great songs, and she toured the country in vaudeville. I think the girls even made a movie or so, and there's a Broadway show based upon their lives. They were indeed American icons.
Adriana, thank you. I want to get back, out of the vaudeville and the blues and the jazz also came some enormous popular hits. I'd like to listen to Ethel Waters with whatever introduction you want to give it, Bobby, singing There'll Be Some Changes Made.
Oh.
I meant piano introduction or just spoken to.
Mm-hmm.
you. Thank you. That was a surprise.
And not so bad for before noon, is it?
It's perfect. The sun's not even up yet, not to mention over the yardarm. Below the yardarm, let's listen to Ethel Waters singing, "There'll Be Some Changes Made." Ethel Waters. Do we know what year that was?
Oh, goodness. That song is so old.
It's 20s, surely.
Came in the 1920s. It became a jazz staple. When I was a kid, the bands all played Change. We just called it Changes, you see. But you can hear then, though, the evidence of Ethel being eased into a pop field. She was being eased into a broader field than the blues would have allowed her. And a larger commercial outing for her.
Good for her. 1-800-423-8255 makes the connection with Bobby Short in our studio this hour. 1-800-423-TALK. Bob is on a car phone. Welcome, Bob.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hey, Chris, it's Bob Ryan.
Hey, Bob Ryan, the Bob Ryan.
I think Boston so.
Boston Globe Sports Bob Ryan.
I hope so. I just want
the
to
man
say,
who invented the Celtics and Larry Bird.
I just want to say that it's an enormous pleasure to listen to Mr. Short. I've had the great... honor of being in the Carlisle and actually being cheek to jowl as for a performance last year. My wife and I were thrilled beyond measure. And the question to Bobby Short is, you mentioned that video of Bessie Smith and St. Louis Blues, and I'm wondering, could we go so far as to say that was the forerunner of the video of what MTV has wrought?
It was not a video. It was what they called a short.
Right. I know it was a short. But
and Dudley Murphy made it.
The entire production revolved around the song, the singing
yes, it
of
did.
The song.
Yes, it did.
And in that sense, I'm wondering if it was a forerunner. I misspoke. A forerunner of the video, in a sense. But it was. I've seen it. A very compelling piece of work.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
I just want to say that for anybody out there who has never seen a Bobby Short perform, let me put it this way, from a 32-year sports writer, to see Bobby Short in performance is to see a double overtime seventh game.
Put that on the marquee, Bob.
That's
Bobby
not.
Short.
I'll buy that. That's a great compliment. Thank you so much.
Well, my pleasure, and very, very, very nice to have you in Boston.
Thank you.
Bob Ryan knows his double overtimes, too. 1-800-423-8255. Janice is on the line. Welcome, Janice.
Hi. Hello, Bobby Short.
Hi.
Good to hear you. I was going to ask about, years ago, I'm of a certain age, in the 50s in New York. I heard a song on a jukebox, and it was really risque for then. It was called "I'm Gonna Go See My Dentist." Dinah Washington recorded it, and I wondered, was it original with her, or did you ever hear it? It very double entendre.
I never heard that song.
Oh, it was outrageous. It was, I've got a cavity, and he's gonna fill it.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, and more. Much more about pain and pleasure and all that stuff. It was quite wild.
Call for the Novocaine. Did you want to say more, Dinah?
Janice? I wanted to know, if Dinah, she's later or she's part of that tradition.
Well, Dinah came later. Mm-hmm. But all those ladies, in filling out a program for a cabaret performance, would go back to those blues songs for variety. And, of course, there were always crowd pleasers.
Dinah, like in Might, as your friend and mine, Bill Marlowe, used to say on the radio.
Ah, Bill Marlowe.
Yeah, Dinah Washington. Benny Carter said she was the greatest of all the singers.
Dinah's, believe me, a very, very compelling singer with a great, great sense of drama. She can make dross into spun gold, believe me.
Janice, thank you. 1-800-423-8255. Tommy is on the line.
Hello. Hello, Bobby Short.
Hi.
Hi. Just a quick question. About 10 years ago, almost 15 years ago now, time goes fast, I used to live in the West Village. I was just out of college, and I used to go to a restaurant called the Five Oaks, and it was on Grove Street in the West Village, and there was a woman there by the name of Marie Blake who used to play piano and sing standards. And I was wondering if you're familiar with her.
I knew Marie Blake very, very, very briefly. I went to the Five Oaks a couple of times to hear her play, and she was wonderful. She really was wonderful.
Tommy, I wish we had some Marie Blake queued up, and we don't.
And I just had a flood at my apartment last summer, and I lost the only album that I had, which was something I think she produced herself. And so I have no way of getting that back into my life, and it's what introduced me to all this music in the first place. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you.
Tommy, I'm glad you called, and Bobby Short is here to tell you that the record may be gone, but you did not imagine Marie Blake. 1-800-423-8255 makes the connection. Andrew is on the line. I'm sorry. Or is it Mike?
Yeah, great show, as usual. I wonder if Bobby Short could tell us a little bit about a singer who came a bit later, Lil Green, in the early 40s out of Chicago.
Ooh.
And in particular, I have some of her reissued CDs, but I don't know a whole lot about her. Did she do the original version of Romance in the Dark?
Romance in the Dark was originally a song called In the Dark.
Mm.
And there's a lot of controversy about that, although there shouldn't have been. It was a popular song, and popular dance bands played it. And a number of established vocalists recorded it as simply a song called In the Dark. Lil came along and gave it a completely different twist. She made it into a veritable blues song. It was then renamed Romance in the Dark and republished with her interpolations. And there's a great confusion now. You look up in a dictionary about songs, and you'll find that there's Romance in the Dark by Lil Green and In the Dark by somebody else, and they are indeed virtually the same song.
Mike, Bobby Short is much too modest to say there's also Romance in the Dark sung by himself, and I can't imagine how Lil Green would have sang it any better.
In the dark, you and I, not a spark and not a sigh, just the beat of my heart in the dark. Fingertips upon my lips, you beg me to please be still in the dark.
This is so fine. I don't know anything you've sung I like more than this, and I like everything you do.
This day, it's part of my youth.
I know it's gonna be missed. Gee, I'm not pretending, 'cause I swear it's fun, fun to be kissed in the dark. We will find what the rest.
1-800-423-8255 makes the Bobby Short connection. And thank you, Mike, so much for mentioning A Little Green and cueing Romance in the Dark. 1-800-423-TALK. Fanny is on the line.
Bobby Short, you're a ray of sunshine on a gray day.
Ah.
Welcome to Boston.
Thank you very much.
I wonder if you could talk to us a little bit about Mabel Mercer. I used to see her and you regularly 30 years ago, and I treasure my records, and it's just a joy to hear your voice again.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, Mabel, as you know, was European. She was born in England,
yeah,
in a small place outside London, and her mother was a vaudevillian, and Mabel, her father was a black man, very possibly American, and Mabel began performing at a very, very early age in vaudeville with her family. And she performed in Paris and in London in the 1930s, and she came to America when the war broke out.
The rest, as they say, is history, Fanny. She taught Frank Sinatra how to articulate, Billie Holiday too, and Bobby Short. Could we go out on the great Mabel Mercer saying goodbye? Would you introduce this as a Cole Porter song?
This is a Cole Porter song written for a Broadway show called The Seven Lively Arts in the 1940s. And Mabel sings it exquisitely.
Let's try to get out of her way. Bobby Short, thank you for being here. Connection listeners, Bob Ryan says, if you're anywhere near Boston, run, don't walk to Scholars Jazz Club tonight and tomorrow, the 21st and 22nd of April. Two shows. Thanks for help today from John Hoder, Glenn Alexander, Rebecca Smuckler, and Kim Bichari. I'm Christopher Lydon. This is The Connection from WBUR Boston.
When you're near, there's such an air of spring about it. I can hear a lark somewhere begin to sing about it. There's no love song finer, but how strange the change from major to minor.
Funding for The Connection comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where The Connection is produced, and from the Allaire Corporation.
PRI, Public Radio International.
This is WBUR. We're funded by you, our listeners, and by Legal Seafoods, voted Boston's best seafood restaurant by the Improper Bostonian 1999. On the web at LegalSeafoods.com. If it is